538, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Dan Daly, Washington Times sports columnist. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I've been sitting here doing the math, and zero is the number I come up with when I get to the number of Harbaugh brothers going to the Super Bowl.
It was a tough day for the family, wasn't it?
Man, no kidding. Let's start with the early game. The Pats beat the Ravens 23-20. These two teams, every time they get together, they always have a great battle, and yesterday was no exception. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, wonderful games between them. I mean, they're so close, really, talent-wise, and what makes the game so interesting is that they're different philosophical approaches. The Patriots are so much more of a new school type team, the way they throw the ball, the way they accentuate the offense. They kind of get by with their defense, whereas the Ravens are built the more traditional way. They've had a good defense for over a decade now, used to shutting teams down and try to score just enough to win. So it's this battle of styles, and two really hard-nosed teams always produce great games.
Yeah. Tom Brady out of the gate quickly, but then the Ravens were getting to him, and he was even picked off, and that appeared to rattle him a little bit.
A little bit, although if you go back and look at the interceptions, it wasn't like you're saying to yourself, boy, that was a horribly thrown ball.
Yeah.
They were both terrific, terrific plays by the defender. I mean, pretty much, well, the first one was kind of a one-hand grab, and the second one was almost a volleyball play in the end zone. That's as spectacular an interception as you'll see there, and of course, it saved the Ravens there. The Patriots were going for the jugular. They're going for the deep ball after getting an interception late in the game, trying to put it away. A touchdown would have given them a 10-point lead, and it gave the Ravens their last breath of life.
Yeah. Ray Rice couldn't seem to break the big one yesterday. He was having a tough time.
Yeah. I mean, he had a really good game against them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Broke the long run early that kind of set the tone for the whole afternoon. But the Patriots had a lot to do with that, really. They've become a lot better, at least against the run this season than they've been in the last few years. And there haven't been too many backs who've had big days against them. I wasn't real surprised to see them hold Ray down. Plus, the Ravens' offensive line isn't quite as strong as it was the past few seasons. That's a place, I think, in the offseason they're going to want to do a little bit of work.
Yeah. All right, so here we are, 22 seconds left in the game. Flacco threads the needle to Lee Evans. That's number 83, if you were
right in front of me in the press box. I was looking down on it.
I'm telling you, you know, and he drops the ball. Actually, he has it knocked out. It hit him in the gut, right?
No, well, him in the hands.
Yeah.
He had it in his hands, and before he got his second foot down, the defender was able to bat the ball out. I mean, if he'd gotten the second one down and he still had possession, it would have been a touchdown.
Okay, so then we're thinking, all right, that's no big deal. You know, Cundiff will come in, he'll kick the field goal, we'll go into OT, and everybody starts over again. How wrong were we? Man, what happened there?
That was what was so fabulous about that game. The last 7 or 8 minutes, the range of emotion on both sides, for both teams and both fan bases, was just incredible. I mean, look at the Patriots, you know. They score that touchdown on the Brady keeper. They go ahead. They go, okay, maybe we've got a shot to win this game. Then they get the interception, and they're thinking, now we're in really good shape if we can just get some points out of this. Then Brady throws the pick in the end zone. Then the Colts come down, the Ravens come down the field, and it looks like they're going to win the game.
And if you looked at Tom Brady, he's got his head down. He's on the bench, and he's holding his head down, and everyone's thinking, uh-oh, they're going to lose this game. And then within, you know, just a few seconds, everything flips around. It was one of those games that was just crazy enough that it could have gone absolutely either way, all the way down to the very end. And I will say this, I did not expect Cundiff to miss that field goal. And I don't know what happened there, but I guess he lost his concentration or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, boy, I mean, it's a whole different deal in the playoffs. And I'll tell you, if you're not used to kicking in cold weather, just being on the sideline and keeping loose enough,
yeah,
and the ball feels a little differently on your foot, because sometimes the balls sitting around in a bag on the sideline get a little harder.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it can throw you off just enough. I mean, that's one of the many things that's so crucial about home field advantage, especially when you've got an environment like that that's so different from everybody else's.
Yeah. All right, so Ravens lose. Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. Now we move to the other game, San Fran. Giants win 20-17, shocking the crowd out there because it looked like quite a few times that San Francisco really had a handle. Bad weather, looked like they didn't really care. They're kind of used to it out there. The rain really wasn't bothering them too much. But this guy, Kyle Williams, he just had a really poor day, didn't he?
Yeah, he had some trouble hanging on to punts late in the game. He muffed one that set up a go-ahead touchdown for the Giants early in the fourth quarter. And then in overtime, he was able to successfully catch the punt, but then as he started upfield, he didn't have the ball quite tucked away, and one of the Giants special teams players was able to poke it out. And, of course, they recovered the ball at the 24-yard line. They were already in field goal range, and by the time they were ready to kick it, they were down around the 10, so it was pretty much an extra point.
Yeah.
And again, you know, even though it was a little under a little wet conditions, a lot easier to kick a field goal in San Francisco than it is at 6 o'clock at night on a January evening in New England.
Yeah, yeah. With this guy Williams, I would have to think that the cops immediately took off and went to the Golden Gate Bridge to keep him from jumping.
I know. I mean,
he's got to live with that for a year.
You think of other sports, and you tend to think more of kickers in football, kickers and closers in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just in those situations where there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
know, I mean, the ball goes over the fence, and everybody in the stadium just looks at the guy standing on the mound.
I know, that's true.
And it's that way with kickers and with Cundiff yesterday. And you know, you see it sometimes with special teams, obviously, too. The game that the Ravens had the week before they played the Patriots against the Houston Texans, Jacoby Jones, the Texans returner, had kind of a game like that. He muffed one. He fumbled another when he tried to return it. And it was deep in Houston territory, and he probably should have just let the ball roll into the end zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look back on the game, that probably had as much to do with the Ravens advancing to the next round as anything.
Yeah, that's true. All right, now the Super Bowl is set, so we've got a rematch of, what, 4 years ago.
Yep.
That game went to the Giants, right? That was an Eli Manning victory, wasn't it?
Eli Manning to Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, okay. That was the game. All right.
Yep.
All right, so now Brady has had time to think about that, kind of wishing for the chance to do it again.
Yep.
Eli Manning, on the other hand, wants to show everybody that, and his brother, that I can do this two times.
Sure.
So this has the makings of a pretty darn good football game, doesn't it?
I think it's got a chance to be a really, really good one. I mean, for one thing, I mean, these two teams, even though they don't play in the same conference, have kind of developed a rivalry almost like the Cowboys and the Steelers had in the 70s and Cowboys and the Bills had in the 90s when they were playing in back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, they've really got that. They're kind of joined at the hip like that. And if this turns out to be a Super Bowl like the one 4 years ago, I think, you know, decades from now, people are going to look back on these teams as kind of like the team of that era. Those are the teams of that era, and this was the rivalry of that era.
Yeah. How about a Manning playing in Indianapolis and it's the wrong one?
Oh, I know, especially since they haven't seen a Manning all year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's the other thing. They've been doing without.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the dynamic is there in the stadium. I'm never certain exactly how many locals, what percentage of the crowd really are going to be from Indianapolis, but it'll be interesting to see how much they throw their support behind Eli's brother.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I can't imagine there being a whole lot of love for Tom Brady, though, as many times as he's come in there and won.
Yeah, yeah. All right, one more thing before I let you run this evening, and that is Steven Tyler and the National Anthem. the general consensus is, looking at the stadium crowd, And gauging from those there, they kind of liked it. But he's getting a lot of flack from across the country for his performance.
What did I'm sure they vetted it with the locals to make sure it was acceptable. I mean, he does have Boston ties, so I think that's part of it. But, you know, it's a different type of musical crowd. A lot of attention has been called to Neil Diamond in Fenway Park, you know.
Yeah.
And the crowd singing Sweet Caroline as they play it every seventh inning.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's more of a throwback musical taste in the Boston area.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, listen, thank you much for your help. Appreciate it. We'll talk again, Dan.
Okay, Andy, take care.
See ya. Dan Daly in the Washington Times.